grace, mercy, peace to you. From God our Father, from Him who conquers Satan, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Mark chapter 1, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. Thus far, our text. Well, there he is, dear friends. 6 years old, standing in Walmart. Over there by the candy aisle. And he's looking at all the candy. And he's imagining how nice it would be to eat one of those candy bars. And so then it happens. He looks right and he looks left. And since no one is around, he reaches up and he grabs a candy bar and he puts it into his pocket. Nobody will know. Temptation. Temptation. I know, a woman said, how to fix this. For she just ruined an appliance that she bought from Bed Bath & Beyond. Been using it for a while. I know how I can fix this. So she wanders into the store, and with an angry heart, she goes to the customer service counter, and she angrily places it up on the counter and demands a refund for a faulty product, knowing full well their policy to not argue with customers. She's going to take advantage of that one, even though she knows it's her fault that it was ruined. And yes, they replace it. Brand new, just for you, temptation. Temptation, dear friends. Temptation. They're all around us, aren't they? Every single day we are confronted with temptations. Some of them are really big, some of them are smaller. Some of them we feel guilty over, some of them we justify. Every day, dear friends, we are confronted with temptations. And one of the culprits, as we know, is right inside of us. One of the culprits we know is that old sinful Adam right there inside of us. That sinful flesh that loves forbidden fruit, that loves to rebel just a little bit, that loves to live life on the edge, that loves to push the line a little bit. Oh, yes. That old Adam inside of us who loves pleasures so much. And yes, there's another culprit, isn't there? That dark, sinister force called Satan, who is always prowling about, looking for a victim like a lion looking for prey, Peter said. Satan's out there. And friends of Christ, he's a master. He is a master at his trade. No, he's not a master carpenter. He's not a master plumber. He's not a master electrician. What he's a master at is tempting. He's a master tempter. And he's been studying you. And he's been studying you. And you may not even be aware that he's doing it. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters describes it fairly well. The old experienced demon teaching the younger one how to study people, find their weakness, how to find that Achilles heel. Oh, yes, indeed, dear friends, and he comes to us with the lie, doesn't he? The great deceiver comes to us with a lie. You're going to be happier if you listen to my advice. Your life is going to be a little better off if you just go my way. And often we buy into it. But we know, don't we, being children of the Most High? We know, don't we, being the baptized of the Lord? We know that He does not have our ultimate happiness in mind. And we know that He knows that life is really not going in the end to be better off if we follow after Him. Oh yes, we know that. We know that. Oh, if only I would not have gone down that road. Oh, if only I would have stayed out of them places, a man said to me in front of an old shady hotel once as I looked at his prison tattoos. If only I would have stayed out of those places, he said, with the remorse pouring out of him. I thought it was the answer to friendship with all these people I'm hanging out with. They dragged me into their drug culture, he said. And I thought it was the answer. I thought it was a ticket to happiness. I thought it was a ticket to belonging, to being a part of something. I thought it was. But it was nothing but a dead end. I thought it was a road to happiness, but it wasn't. A few moments of pleasure gave way to a lifetime of disaster, he said. If only I would have stayed out of them places. Try this, I said to him. Try this, I said to him, as I placed a Bible into his hands. A Bible with a sheet of instructions on how to use it. Try this. Oh no, it won't change your life in a day. But it might just correct your course. And he said, yeah, I've actually been doing that, he said to me. In fact, my wife, she comforts me every evening in that hotel room by reading the Bible to me. Because I can't read very well. And I'm beginning to learn that God loves me. And I'm beginning to learn that God has forgiven me. And I'm beginning to learn, he said to me, to stay out of them places. Indeed, he has some audacity, doesn't he, dear friend Satan? Boy, does he have audacity to come after Christians and try and drag them away. Because you see, that's his goal. He's not after our happiness. He wants your pew empty. He wants your heart empty. He wants your faith gone. He wants your faith as a trophy on his mantle. And he has audacity, doesn't he? We see that audacity today out in the desert, out in the wilderness. For he has so much audacity that he went after Jesus himself. That's guts. For immediately after Jesus was inaugurated, we might say, into his 3-year mission, he was driven by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness. And out there in the wilderness, it was not going to be a fun time. For out there, an adversary was waiting for him by the name of Satan, the great deceiver, the adversary. He was waiting for Jesus. Waiting to do battle with him. You see what's happening? Jesus is replaying the 40 years in the desert of the Israelites, who failed miserably in following the word of the Lord, who are always falling on their faces into the sand. Only this time, Israel reduced to one was going to win. He was going to win. Jesus is replaying those moments. And he's also replaying, we might say, in some sense, the Garden of Eden. Only the garden is now dead. It's a desert and it's filled with scorpions and snakes and spiders and all kinds of ugly things. and Satan figures, I did it once, I can do it again. I caused Adam to fall in paradise. I caused Adam to fall out in Eden. I caused him to fall. Big trophy on my mantle. If I can do it once, I can do it a second time. If I can do it with the first Adam, I can certainly do it with the second Adam, because I'm good at what I do. I am good at temptation. Can you see the desert and the devil all smug and proud? As he plans his tactics, as he plans his approach. Because you see, he's a good tailor. Like a tailor carefully crafting a beautiful suit to fit you just right, dear friends. He tailors his sins. He tailors his temptations to fit your personal being, your personal personality. And he does the same with us. He tailors them to fit us. And he did with Jesus out there in the desert, hungry out there in the desert, sand between his toes, no glory whatsoever, no comforts at all. He tailored the temptations, bread and kingdom, bread and kingdoms, glory and power. For aren't you missing these things, Jesus? Aren't you missing the angels in heaven that glorify you, the beauty of its kingdom, its light and its life? Aren't you missing the power that you command? Your kingdom. Aren't you hungry now in this miserable state of humiliation that you're in now? And so Satan tempts Jesus with tailor-made temptations, as he does with us. Oh, we almost want to scream, don't we? Don't go, Jesus. Don't go out there. Don't you know he's waiting for you? And he's got a plan, and he's got an attack, and he's got an approach to you. And he's got it all schemed out. Jesus, don't go out there. Stay out of them places, Jesus. He's going to come at you with all kinds of charm, but he means you harm. Charm turned into harm. Satan's approach. But friends, Jesus knew all this. He knew who was waiting for him. He knew his tactics. He knew his strategies. Jesus didn't go out there unarmed. For he knew his mission from his heavenly Father, and his mission was to destroy the works of the devil, as St. John proclaims in his first epistle. He has come to destroy the works of the devil, to free this world from his incarceration. And so Jesus goes out to do battle. I wonder what weapons he'll use. Abrams tanks. Aircraft carriers, F-35 stealth fighters. No. He uses a weapon that's even more powerful than that. He uses, dear friends, the living Word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. He uses the living Word of God against every tailored temptation that Satan brings against him. It is written, Jesus says in response. It is written, bread? Are you kidding, Satan? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, for it is the word that sets us free. It is written, Jesus answered Satan. Gegrapsai in the Greek. It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't you know God can't be moved? Can't be tricked or deceived. You shall not put him to the test. It is written, Jesus said, with every temptation that came his way. It is written, he said. to Satan, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. With every tailor-made temptation that Satan brought to him, Jesus turned him back with the mighty and with the living word of God. It's the word, the same word that created the earth, the same word that fashioned planets and stars. It's the same word that brings faith into our hearts through which we are justified before the judgment seat of God. It is a mighty word. It is a beautiful word. It is the darkness in the light in the darkness that shines. The word of God. It brings life, and it brings light. And it's the powerful sword that Jesus used against Satan. And it's the sword that he would use all the way to the cross, where he would die for sinners. Never once turning aside from the word as the first Adam did. The second Adam would keep the word, would always keep that word. And with his word in his heart, would die for the world. For us, dear friends in Christ, he has kept the word of God. For us, he has turned back temptation. For us, he has resisted Satan and all of his tailored temptations. For us, he has lived, and for us he has died, and for us he has risen, and for us he has ascended, and for us he intercedes. For us he has opened paradise. For us he has broken the hold of the devil in this world. For us he has broken the hold of Satan in our lives. For us he will renew Eden and bring it forth again, a beautiful garden for us. He will make all things new again, by the speaking of his word. It is written. And friends, what a joy. We have that same word today. It's been given to us. It's been poured into our hearts, into our souls and minds. That same word has been given to us. And by that living word, we can stay out of them places. By that living word, we can, how does Peter say it? Resist him so that he flees. We can resist him and turn him back. For don't you know, Satan, it is written, it is written. That's what's in my heart. What the Lord has said. And so, yes, dear friends, what a joy. Where the first Adam failed, the second Adam succeeds. I'm not here to give in to temptation. I'm here to forecast your victory. Get behind me, Satan. I'm here to defeat you. And that's our victory, dear friends. In Jesus Christ, Satan is crushed. Amen. We invite you to arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in him, who is the defeater of Satan, Jesus the Christ. Amen.